Good morning. For those who maybe are visiting with us, I just want to make an introduction. My name is Jamie Rye, pastor here. And I wanted to say one thing. Kids are really important to us here. So if you have your kids, feel free to let them relax. We don't mind a little noise or getting up and moving around. We're pretty used to it. So I just wanted to let you know that. We also have a coloring area back there with some activities, things like that. So if you have kids, feel free to be comfortable with that. So this morning, we get to recognize that Jesus is alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive, right? He's alive. That's why we gather here on Easter Sunday. That's why we are celebrating this morning. You know, the resurrection, this is by far one of the most profound mysteries of all of history. Yet it is also one of the most profoundly important things for our faith as followers of Jesus. Jesus' empty tomb literally changes everything. How can an empty tomb change the world? How can an empty tomb change the world? Well, an empty tomb means a lot of different things. It means, for one, victory over sin. It means love has won. It means that grace has conquered. Peace prevails. Forgiveness has been given. Life is being made new. This is all part of an empty tomb. But ultimately, when we look at an empty tomb, we realize that death has lost. It doesn't have any authority anymore. That is in part what we're celebrating. Do you ever think of the resurrection in all of these ways? The resurrection is not just an event, but it's a change in the course of the way that life now operates. You know, it seems that the world has really taught us to run from death. We are so preoccupied with it. So we do everything in our power to tame its effects with our own might. We spend most of our energy fighting against death. We're terrified of it. We're even sold products to help us with that, right? We can go and get a cream that gets rid of our wrinkles so we can pretend like we're not aging. Or there's oxygen water you can get, right? That's going to add a few years to your life. But you never really know because you didn't know how long you were going to live to begin with. We've created all kinds of health fads. The all-meat diet, which sounds good to me. But actually, I've heard that the cabbage diet tends to work better. You just eat cabbage, that's it. But then again, you know, perhaps a better option is just to drink a shake for every meal, because that's going to do it for you. For me personally, I've chosen the Happy Meal diet because the toys make me feel younger. So, but in all seriousness, it can get really crazy. Our pursuits of running away from death, our desire of self-preservation, our desires to save our old bodies, bodies that we know really are going to be in need of resurrection too. It's not going to last forever, no matter what we do. It's going to wear out. Do these pursuits come from a fear of death? Certainly, death is one of the greatest motivators, often motivating us to do the wrong kinds of things. But I do want to make a disclaimer, because I do believe that we should take care of our bodies. Certainly, we should be good stewards of the body we've been given. We are called to be holistic people. So I'm not recommending that you go out and eat Taco Bell every day in order to eat that delicious fire sauce that they have. That's not what I'm saying. But what would life look like if we didn't let death control our decisions? What might it look like? How might we engage with the world and every single thing in it if we really consider the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of transformation that comes from the resurrection, Jesus changes everything. And his final act is a catalyst that sets a new world in motion. A world that is meant to look differently than it did before Jesus did what Jesus did. We really never have to fear death again. We don't. That's part of the joy of the resurrection. But defeating death is not the only powerful attribute of the resurrection. Resurrection invades every single aspect of our life if we let it. It's not just something that Jesus did. It is something that Jesus is doing. Resurrection happens every single day, and it's something that we get to participate in if we want to. But it is a choice for us. You know, I was thinking back to a moment in my own story, a moment where resurrection took hold, and I couldn't deny its power. Have you ever experienced a resurrection moment? Perhaps a time when something was happening or going on in your life that was out of your control, and yet you knew without a doubt that God was active in it, that God had his hand in it. He was working. Or have you ever participated in a resurrection moment where you realized that God could use you to bring about resurrection in a situation that seemed powerless? You know, I've had one of these participation in resurrection moments, and it was back in 2012. This is when I was serving in a small community in Dessalines, Haiti. And this was a mountain community that had been hit as hard as other areas by the tsunamis and the other natural disasters that they've had. And I just want to read for you a Facebook post that I had from that time. We went to the hospital today to do a devotional with the nurses and doctors. Afterwards, we walked around the hospital and spent some time in prayer with the patients. Healthcare in Haiti is definitely one of the more challenging things for me to process. We spent so much time and energy in the States debating about health insurance and government-run healthcare and the costs involved, yet I found myself in the midst of a maternity ward praying over a 16-year-old girl. She had miscarried at 7 months and had to go through the procedure to have the baby removed. We asked this girl how we could pray for her since she was sitting there on the bed looking fully recovered and ready to go home. We found out that she was all alone, that the only family she has is her mother, who happens to live pretty far away. In fact, her mother lives all the way up in the mountains, which is where the poor of the poor live. She explains that she has been in the hospital for 1 month, and she is, in fact, ready to go home, except for one thing. She owes the hospital $460 for her procedures, and she can't pay. This is a lot of money for someone even in the States, much less a 16-year-old girl in Haiti. See, the hospital's policy states that she can't leave until she's paid in full, but being that she's so poor, this is an insurmountable number for her. Was she destined to stay in the hospital forever? I understand this policy because the hospital needs funds to stay open and serve that community, to cover her cost, and if she leaves, they're never going to receive payment. Chances are high that's what's going to happen. But this situation breaks my heart. Months ago, Kelly and I went through a miscarriage as well, and my heart aches for this young lady. As a team, we're going to get together what we can to help. But this story happens day after day. This is just not
okay. This girl's story could be our story. When I wrote this post, I just set out to tell this young girl's story. To lament about the injustice of her situation that she had to suffer this way. I wrote the post because it was my way of mourning that there was a person stuck in a situation like this in our world. Resurrection was needed in her situation. Our team scraped together what funds we had available to cover her bills. But what happened next, to me, was much more beautiful and a bigger picture of resurrection. I received message after message from friends on Facebook who wanted to give funds to help this girl. They wanted to just pay her bill. And then I got subsequent messages that said, are there other young girls in this situation who are suffering in the same way? Could we give money to the hospital in a fund to make sure that this never happens again? That evening, that 16-year-old girl went home to her mother after 1 month of being stuck in the hospital alone. And she received this simple note, which was written by one of our team members. It said, God has paid your debts. He loves you. Go home to be with your mother. Jesus's empty tomb, the great symbol of resurrection, changes everything. Resurrection happened, and it is happening all around us. Will we join in? Will we join in? Before I came up here to share, we heard a story that is written in Luke 24. This is a story of the resurrected Jesus who is walking around, and he comes across these two disciples who are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they don't recognize him. You know, this is one of many resurrection experiences where they see the aliveness of Jesus. And in this account, we begin to see the change that resurrection has already brought. This story shows us that nothing is as it was. The resurrection is changing all things. In this story, we see a road. They're walking on a road, a simple path between two destinations from one city to the next. And yet this road becomes holy ground for the resurrection work of Christ in the hearts of those who are traveling it. It was on this road to Emmaus that Jesus meets these two disciples and walks with them and talks with them. It is also on this road, we learn later on, that the Apostle Paul has this experience with Jesus that forever changes his life. It's in this story we see that once what was a seemingly normal conversation with a stranger, they didn't know it was Jesus, could turn out to be a conversation with the risen Christ. You know, the writer of Hebrews alludes to this concept. It's that the writer says, do not forget to show hospitality to the stranger, for by doing so, people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. The resurrection's active. In this story, we see women. Women considered at the time to be lesser humanity. That's how they were viewed. These same women in this story, by the way, are the only ones who sat by Jesus' side all the way through this story. When he was suffering on this cross, the women stayed. They were the first then to bear witness to his resurrection as well. These two disciples in the story we heard proclaim, some women of our group astounded us. See, the resurrection demands equality. Equality for all people. In this story, we see a change in the reading and understanding of the scriptures. While they were not once fully comprehended, they hadn't been made clear yet until the incarnation, until the Spirit which is in Jesus witnessed to them through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In this story, we see hospitality to strangers. These two disciples, they invite this man, this stranger they're walking with, to come into their home and share a meal with them. We, of course, know that it's Jesus, but they didn't. See, this was once considered an obligation to invite the stranger to be with you. Yet we realize in this story that hospitality becomes an opportunity to experience the risen Christ in community. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, "Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." In this story, we see bread. While once simply a food at the center of every meal, it is no longer just bread. This text says that then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Bread's no longer just bread. Bread broken becomes a powerful picture for us of sacrifice, love, grace, forgiveness. It is no longer just bread. It is a picture of Christ. And in this story, we see a tomb. A tomb being the sign of death, right? A symbol of hope lost. This tomb, which once represented death, is actually found to be empty. The resurrected and alive Jesus is free from the tomb, free from death, and full of hope. This is what we read in the scripture. "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. The tomb's empty. Jesus is actually alive. And that's what we see in this story. Jesus is alive. Jesus is active. Jesus is walking among the people. The empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus, has changed all of us, even if we're not in the place to acknowledge it. It's inevitable. It's invaded the entire world. And in doing so, it's called out to change people's hearts, to spring up hope. It's defeated death. It's bringing restoration in the world. It's spreading love. The resurrection is offering forgiveness. It's reviving the dead. How many of us have heard stories of people who were virtually dead, and yet God did something remarkable in them? That is resurrection. Resurrection brings comfort to the brokenhearted. There's hope. Resurrection can perpetuate goodness in the world. The resurrection of Jesus wants to change us more still, if we allow the Spirit of the resurrected Christ to work in us. The resurrection also wants to change the lives of every single person we encounter too. We have a role in this story. We are recipients, of course, of resurrection, but we are also contributors of resurrection. Do you realize that? We participate in it. Brothers and sisters, the world is filled with resurrection life. Will we embrace this resurrection life for ourselves? Will we propagate this resurrection life to the world around us? Today we celebrate as one body that the tomb is empty. Death has lost. Everything is changed. Everything is changing. Easter is taking place every day. Not just today, but every day. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you with grateful hearts. We thank you for the ways in which you chose to suffer. You chose to stay present in the pain of the cross. You did that so that we might be people who are free. People who are free from death. People who are free from the grave that can drag us down. You bore the weight of pain and sin in this world so that we could have a choice to not participate in pain and sin and death. We recognize that the world is still fighting against your resurrection. So we ask that you help us to be the kind of people who bring resurrection in all of our relationships and all of the situations we encounter, even when they appear to be hopeless. Help us to be an Easter people who live out your ways every single day in this world that needs your resurrection so desperately. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, God, for your graciousness of giving your Son to teach us how we should live and to save us in this world. We pray this in your name. Amen.